Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode here at the Damage Report. Me, John Arola. It's a Friday, which means also Brett Ehrlich. Brett, how's it going?
I was just doing my vocal warm-ups. Hello, John. Hello. 9 feet tall. That's what I do.
I believe I've heard you do that before. Well, Brett, thank you for being here on a show that represents a new day, but not a new intro. People are frustrated in the chat, but we said we were going to make intros together and we haven't done that. So I don't know why anyone is surprised that I haven't yet made time. Anyway, happy to have you here, Brett. Thank you for taking time out. Appreciate you.
Happy to be here. Are you hungry or something? Is that why you're eating the lower third? What's this about?
Why am I like too low? I don't know.
Listen to my mom. Throw your shoulders back. Throw your shoulders back, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my mom's like phrase. Throw your shoulders back, Brett.
Should I just do the news like this? Is this any more awkward than Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, both would be described as posturing.
Well, I don't want to be a poser. Okay, so I'm gonna keep it real, especially because it's a Friday, and also because I don't know, there's a show on the internet. What's the difference? I'm a little bit down. You know, like I'm still in this hut. I got a COVID test days ago. God only knows where the results are. And by the way, if it was just me, that's fine. I can work from home. I'm fine. But think about there are potentially tens of thousands of people in LA that did the responsible thing and got COVID tested, but will never find out the results, presumably until after they would have already gotten over the disease anyway. So I don't know. I want to be back in the studio. I want to do a power panel with people at the desk. So I'm a little bit down. So I apologize in advance.
I treat COVID exactly like I treat my driver's license, my SATs, sexually transmitted diseases, and I just don't do the test.
Just don't. Just slide by without any official results. Well, anyway, maybe I'll do that next time around. But for all of you out there, thank you for being here. Despite whatever mood I might be in, we have a pledge to you to deliver approximately 90 minutes of news, and we're gonna do something like that. We've got updates on Ted Cruz, who did kind of a good thing yesterday. So you can probably guess what this update's gonna be like. A little bit more talk about January 6th. We're gonna close out this anniversary week. New social media network is about to drop, should you get involved. We're gonna give you a little preview, updates on the insurgents and a whole bunch of nonsense. Hey, we're gonna talk about Harry Potter. That's gonna be fun. And then we're gonna close off the show and the week the way we always do with our garbage people of the week. But in addition to that, we have a special treat. We have the results of the community garbage person of 2021. So in addition to this week's garbage person, many of you, a record-breaking number of you voted in the overall poll for all of last year, and we finally have those results. So definitely stay until the end of the show for that. Brady, on the edge of your seat, are you ready to do some news?
I'm almost ready to do some news. Just everybody join us for Game Busters tonight, because John Iderola will be in the squad. Hot dropping on the Daily Planet or whatever that area is. It's been so long. There's a new map and Spidey headquarters. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it still exists. We'll discover it together today at 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/TYT.
Yes. By the way, early heads up, in addition to the gaming that I'll be doing on Game Busters, I don't often appear on other podcasts, but I will be. I'm gonna be recording an episode next Monday, I believe. I have no idea when it's coming out, but I will let you know when I do. Anyway, I'm going to be playing D&D with people I don't know. And if you know anything about me, you probably know I am terrified at the prospect of doing this, not only talking to people I don't know, but like basically performing in front of people I don't know. So I'm horrified right now, but hopefully it'll be fun.
You're an excellent natural storyteller and parties, John. So I think it'll go off just fine. I do think you're great at parties. I was thinking about that randomly while folding clothes. Like, John's really good at parties, facilitating as a host.
I thank you. Although I appreciate the implicit, unstated widening of the definition of parties that you just did there, because I have only very rarely ever hosted what most would consider a party, but I host things.
COVID era parties are like, anytime you think back on something where three people were around, that's a party for me.
Exactly. That's probably enough. We used to have our, you know, our Can't Believe You're Still in Power Hour parties. And anyway. Okay. By the way, the podcast is Greetings Adventurers. So look forward to that. You can go get subscribed in advance. Anyway, with that, Please hit the like button, share the stream, send us comments. We'll respond to them. And with that, let's jump into this video.
We are approaching a solemn anniversary this week. And it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery, risk their lives to defend the men and women who serve in this Capitol.
Okay, so that was Ted Cruz yesterday on the show. We played that for you. That is him acknowledging how serious last January 6th was, just describing the fact, the date. That's it. And it's Ted Cruz. So that was really surprising. He's not normally a guy who's willing to say something unpopular. He's always scared of being criticized and all that, scared of looking humiliated like a fool. So we appreciated his bravery for the 5 or 10 minutes that it lasted, because as we sort of predicted on the show yesterday, he's not gonna die on a hill. Like the core part of his personality is that he will never choose a hill or die on it. So he threw out those comments. He got criticized. Tucker Carlson ripped him a new one. People on Twitter said that he was a traitor. And so he backtracked. Backpedal. And it involved him going on Tucker Carlson and just basically begging for Tucker to accept him again. Let's give you a little bit of that groveling. We've got a few clips for you.
Carelessly, and yet you called this a terror attack when by no definition was it a terror attack. That's a lie. You told that lie on purpose, and I'm wondering why you did.
Well, Tucker, thank you for having me on. When you aired your episode last night, I sent you a text shortly thereafter and said, listen, I'd like to go on, because the way I phrased things yesterday, it was sloppy and it was frankly dumb. And
I don't buy that. Whoa. I don't buy that. Look, I've known you a long time, since before you went to the Senate. You're a Supreme Court contender. You take words as seriously as any man who's ever served in the Senate. And every word you repeated that phrase, I do not believe that you used that accidentally. I just don't.
So Tucker, as a result of my sloppy phrasing, it's caused a lot of people to misunderstand what I meant.
And what I meant is that I don't say words to communicate meaning. I say words so you'll love me, and now you don't. Please love me again. And so before I let Brett jump in, I want to make something clear. This is mostly going to be a segment where we rightfully, I think, and appropriately mock Ted Cruz, and we will do that. But first, really fast on Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson has a very different version of something that I have long pointlessly criticized Donald Trump for, which is he is seen as strong when he cannot help in his body language and speech but be a little petty kid. So his thing where he's like, so I don't believe it, I just don't. Like, to do something like that is so pathetic rhetorically. And I understand he doesn't need to be a bastion of strength when the guy in the other half of the templated graphic is Ted Cruz, but he's pathetic too. He's also, by the way, wrong. This is not the point of this segment, but when he repeatedly says that it is by definition not a terror attack, it's a lie. Nobody could say that. Well, the definition of terrorism, according to Oxford Languages, is the unlawful use of violence and intimidation, especially against civilians in the pursuit of political aims. That's what this was. It was a group of people being violent to scare civilians, our elected officials, into doing what they want politically. That's the stated goal of it. I'm not even I'm not speculating about what they were trying to do. Trump was saying, go there, make your voices heard, show them they have to overturn. This was by definition terrorism. There's nothing in that definition that says 10 people have to die or 100 people have to die. They were using violence and intimidation to get a political end that they could not get through explicitly political means. Thus, it is terrorism. Tucker Carlson is 100% wrong. But Brett, what do you think?
There's so much to unpack. I'm definitely going to forget plenty of it. First of all, I just want to point out that this is like, what a marshmallow Ted Cruz has to be that he can get boxed out rhetorically and politically by Tucker Carlson, who is also a marshmallow, a ooey gooey right before it bursts into flames, s'more on the fire marshmallow. That's what they both are. The thing is, the way that Ted Cruz is, he's an outdated toy. He's an outdated relic, a technologically inferior relic from a previous iteration of a politician. He is the best you can be at that horrible terrible, no good, very bad way of consolidating and holding power and being a schmucko on camera to score, like, you know, it's like watching fencing. Mm-hmm. You're just like, this is not this is not sword fighting. You guys are all definitely holding swords and you're doing all this stuff that, like, I've seen sword fighting in Braveheart. It doesn't look anything like that, but you score points somehow by like bending foily pieces of nothing against each other's bodies. And people like Trump and what? Oh, you hate it because you love fencing.
They are different styles of sword combat. That's not what this is about. We're not going to get into it.
These guys with their flimsy eepies are trying to thrust their flaccid pieces of bendy aluminium against each other.
But that is not a simulation of broadsword or longsword combat like you might see in Braveheart.
Hang on, let me go back to my LARP
meeting.
Were
a different sort of sword. We're moving on. We're not going to talk about it, but I'm going to be mad for the rest of the day.
But Trump, but it's not, it's okay. And what you just displayed is analogous to people on the news analyzing frickin' political discourse between politicians when people at home are watching it going like, this is boring and stupid and elitist. And mm-hmm. people like Trump and Tucker Carlson have both, and Steve Bannon, and to a certain extent, you're gonna hate this, AOC, but the people who are the next, like, the 2.0 of being a politician have identified the people at home are watching this going like, this is a bad sport. And so when you originally saw the debate between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, where Ted Cruz was pulling out his eepee and being like, meow, 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 and Donald Trump pulled out a broadsword and decapitated him, it was just shocking to see. It was like the last episode of season one of Game of Thrones. You're like, that guy's supposed to have hero armor.
Yeah, exactly.
And finally, and this, I think, like, this is a huge story. And I can't believe going into the show, you're like, I'm all right. But like, this is a crazy huge story. This is Tucker Carlson, a flimsy marshmallow, realizing how much power he has, to go to Ted Cruz, who thought this was a softie, thought that this interview was a thrown game, thought this was WWF, and it turned out to be MMA.
Yeah.
And Tucker Carlson put him in a headlock and he's bleeding everywhere and will be for the rest of his political career.
Exactly. Yeah. And for all that I absolutely despise Tucker Carlson and think that he's absolutely awful, I would give him points for the tactic of ridiculously overinflating how good with words Tucker Carlson is in an interview where you know you can own him. That's a great technique. It's like pre-debate. Raising the expectations for the other side. That's sort of what he's doing there. And look, he's exercising his power in the party. He does have more power than Ted Cruz because power in that party is now defined by an ability to read the purest version of what the base wants to hear and an ability to say it shamelessly and consistently, to just say whatever it is that they want to hear, to protect them and coddle them and stroke their hair very softly. And he did a better job of it this week than Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz accurately reflected reality, but there's no incentive for that. Anyway, we do have more clips though. So Ted Cruz's groveling on Tucker Carlson couldn't fit in as just one video. So let's jump into a little bit more of his attempt to get Tucker Carlson to accept him once again.
What I was referring to are the limited number of people who engaged in violent attacks against police officers. Now, I think you and I both agree that if you assault a police officer, you should go to jail. That's who I was talking about. And the reason the phrasing was sloppy is I have talked dozens, if not hundreds of times, I've drawn a distinction. I wasn't saying that the thousands of peaceful protesters supporting Donald Trump are somehow terrorists. I wasn't saying the millions of patriots across the country supporting President Trump are terrorists. And that's what a lot of people have misunderstood that comment.
Wait a second, but hold on. What you just said doesn't make sense. So if somebody assaults a cop, he should be charged and go to jail. I couldn't agree more. We have said that for years. But that person's still not a terrorist. How many people have been charged with terrorism on January 6th? Like, why'd you use that word? You're playing into the other side's characterization that, as Joe Kent just explained, allows them to define an entire population as foreign combatants. And you know that. So why'd you do it?
So Tucker.
That is, he has to throw in that last 10 seconds of Alex Jones territory. Like labeling a specific group of people that are receiving legal consequences for their actions as terrorists, which I don't even think legally most of these investigations are, that is defining every conservative in America as a foreign combatant, which obviously it's not doing, and we wouldn't do that. That is your shtick from the Bush era.
Yeah. I agree. He has to say combatants also, because it now becomes like that is that when you say civilian, the opposite of that is like combatant. Mm-hmm. But I guess my point in the credit that illuminates how the credit that I give to Tucker Carlson for beating down Ted Cruz stops at the message he's conveying at the end of the day, mm-hmm. which this insipid concept that the people who stormed into the Capitol building, you know, trying to hang Mike Pence, the vice president of the United States, saying that any attempt to point out that was wrong in a way that is explicit and well-defined, mm-hmm. which is exactly like Ted Cruz's wheelhouse and something he thought was safe to do, which was call these people that made their way onto the floor of the House, tried to beat up police officers and kill the vice president of the United States and overturn the peaceful transfer of power, trying to call those people just, you know, victims of circumstance who are widely misunderstood, like even trying to call out that they're horrible. Got pushback. And that's what Tucker is trying to do. He's trying to message and run interference for people who tried to end American democracy.
Yeah.
And it's insane that it works.
Yeah. Well, and it's worked to convince, I mean, every conservative basically believes that simultaneously what happened on January 6th was absolutely great. It was the best thing ever. And it was also a total false flag that the FBI caused. And they only believe that FBI stuff because of Tucker Carlson. He put it out there and they all accept it. It's been wildly successful. And you can expect this for however dark this gets as we continue down this road. January 6th certainly stood out. At some point, I don't know, in a month, in a year, in 5 years, there will be things far worse. I want you to know they are going to run defense. Like I've been saying this for a while, and thankfully the assassinations have been mostly attempts rather than successful, although there have been attacks against politicians. If some gunman guns down multiple congresspeople, you do not think, like you are crazy if you think 6 months later to Fox News would be like, yeah, that was a dark day. That was awful and we really need to learn from it. There's zero chance that is how they're going to respond to literally any violence, no matter how horrific. So just get ready for that. I want to close with the most pathetic part of this entire thing, which is not just Ted Cruz trying to explain his language, why he used the word, but trying to get back into their good graces by reminding them that he was basically as bad.
While thousands of people were standing up to defend this country on January 6th, at that exact moment, I was standing on the Senate floor objecting to the election results. Of course, it would be ridiculous for me to be saying that the people standing up and protesting to follow the law were somehow terrorists. I was talking about people who commit violence against cops. I agree, it was a mistake to use the word yesterday, because the Democrats and the corporate media have so politicized it. They're trying to paint everyone as a terrorist, and it's a lie. Exactly. And by the way, I've spoken out vocally against your change you just had. They want to paint us as Nazis. Yes,
I know, it's scary.
That is what they're trying to do. And I just look, I'm the one leading the fight in the Senate against this garbage.
Okay, I don't know how he doesn't get that delivery, that tone of voice he's using is begging. He's like, well, I'm the best. And also, again, was it terrorism or were thousands of Americans standing up to defend their country? How are you defending your country when you refuse to accept the results of an election that Ted Cruz knows was perfectly valid? He is lying about the most consequential political activities of the past few years so that Tucker Carlson's audience will like him again. It's absolutely pathetic.
This is Ted Cruz. This is an image I had in my mind while this was happening. This is Ted Cruz, who has put together his best laid plans, Wile E. Coyote style. He has said, all right, here is how I come out on top and get the roadrunner of the office of the presidency and the general voting bloc and become the next person after Trump tries and fails. This is his plan. And he's got it all in his cave. He's all got it plotted out. And he puts it together and he brings it. And Tucker Carlson's just the roadrunner who like pulls out one nail and the whole thing collapses at once. That's what happened. He just was like, click. And every best laid plan of mouse-like man Ted Cruz just crumbled into a giant like dust cloud with like the words BAM showing up and whammo, and it just completely failed.
Yeah.
And it would have been priceless to watch, except the person who won is the guy who's saying, oh, I can't believe they're comparing us to Nazis, is a fascist.
Yeah.
He's a straight up definition of the word fascist elitist. You know, as close as you can get, if you're like one of those Illuminati folks, like close as you can get to the 13 sacred bloodlines of Swanson Brothhood in corporate journalism. And the guy also in Ted Cruz, like, I can't believe Fox or I can't believe corporate media has warped this, throwing out all those buzzwords he can so that hopefully Tucker will grab onto one and pull it up, but he just ignores it while being on Fox News, which is itself corporate media.
100%. Really fast, in 1 minute, I want to finalize just by showing you some of the other responses. Tucker Carlson reamed him, but even CNN had fun attacking him, referring to him as Theon Greyjoy. If you watch Game of Thrones, you know that Reek was not necessarily the most admirable strong figure. I like Derek Young's tweet, Ted Cruz promises to have vestigial spine removed after bullying by fish stick air. It's pretty good. And look at how pathetic this is. So right wingers like Adam Baldwin are like snitch tweeting on Ted Cruz, like, look, back after the January 6th, he said we should have a peaceful and orderly transition of power. Get him, Tucker. How pathetic is that? But even more pathetic is desperately trying to get those people to love you once again.
And the last, anyway, the last little super theme last. Is they're, everything that they're saying in their defense of the rest of everyone who was storming the Capitol on January 6th is just a hypocritical inverse of their criticism of Black Lives Matter the entire time and Antifa. This like, oh my God, these people in the streets, they're like, everyone affiliated with every part of that movement is a terrorist, evil, communist, critical race theory psychopath. Meanwhile, they're like, well, just, you know, take these four people who committed terrorism and don't even call them terrorists. They just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I seem to recall Tucker Carlson asking for leaders of BLM to be, I believe it was Frog March to Guantanamo Bay. I think he might have used that term. So yeah, a little bit of hypocrisy there. I don't recall them trying to assassinate the vice president during any of those protests. Anyway, we're gonna take a first break. When we come back, we got a lot more to talk about. A little bit more on January 6th, and then we're gonna move on to some insanity after this. Okay, I know. It's a Friday. Why am I doing this to you? But you're gonna have to see his face a little bit more. Let's jump into this video.
It's the anniversary of January 6th. And in commemoration of that, we have donned the official network approved solemn anchor outfit, white shirt, muted tie. Message, reverence. But actually, if you take three steps back as historical events go, if we're being honest now, January 6th barely rates as a footnote. Really, not a lot happened that day, if you think about it.
Okay, so in that clip, in just a few seconds, Tucker Carlson manages to do the two things he does best, be wrong and be awful. Obviously, objectively, historically, it's a significant event. Every bit of it, not just on January 6th, but the entire movement to overturn the results of an election, a president refusing to concede, refusing to go to the inauguration, sending a mob of insane people, them breaking into the Capitol. And that's, so he's obviously wrong. But let's also talk about how awful he is. The mockery. Oh, it's very somber. It's very reverent. People died. Even if he only wanted to talk about Ashley Babbitt, to mock the idea that this is a somber occasion is objectively awful. But that's of course by design, Brett.
Yeah, I love it. He said Ashley Babbitt dying was nothing. I love that point.
It's not particularly important. If you take a few steps back, Ashley Babbitt dying just isn't that important, according to Tucker Carlson.
for all the nothing stories that Republicans harp on and right wingers and fascists harp on over and over again, nebulous things that aren't actually stories, but rather the specter of a possibility of a story happening. I'm talking about critical race theory. I watched Fox News yesterday because there was supposed to be someone on there and we were supposed to record it, but they got bumped. And watching people complain about nonsense on that show nonstop, on that network nonstop, it pales in comparison. The things that they complain about as direct threats, like the possibility of critical race theory funding being made available, though never called critical race theory. They talked about that for like 10 minutes. And nowhere in any of that story did people break into the Capitol building. That thing on the same merchandise that you buy when you're buying like something for your truck that has a giant flag and like Trump's face also on Mount Rushmore, like they tried to burn it.
Yeah.
They tried to destroy it. They broke windows. They climbed walls. They chanted, "Hang Mike Pence. Where are you, Nancy? We want to kill you." Yeah. That's what they did. They tried to stop democracy from happening. They tried to thwart the peaceful transfer of power. And we're looking at a video right now where a police officer, you know, led them the other way. Yeah. Otherwise, they would have been right where the people in actually overseeing the transfer of power and making sure that what the founders, what America's all about, could continue to happen. But no, it's nothing. It's because nothing. It has to be. That's the most important thing. For them, it has to be. Yep. And for all the times Tucker Carlson talks about other people gaslighting you, saying that a coup attempt, an orchestrated coup attempt, confirmed by people like Ted Cruz and everyone else, Peter Navarro, they had multiple tranches of coup attempt. They had people in there trying to vote against it, trying to throw out legal election rules and results. And then they had people storming the gallery. They need you. It's not that they want you. They need you to believe that that was no big deal. How do I know? They've spent every day since it happened trying to convince you that that giant momentous, like hasn't happened since they burned the original White House down. Like hasn't happened since then, that it's no big deal.
Yep. Yeah. And this is much like when a conservative, you know, like pundit or someone who fancies himself a right-wing comedian will say something awful and then decide if it's a joke or not based on whether people get mad.
Yeah.
That's what this is. They sent people there to do this. If it had somehow worked, like let's say, you know, they broke it in and literally killed everybody. Or let's say that the political version of the coup worked, that they had stopped the vote from being certified, somehow the House voted and Trump stayed president. What do you think would have happened? What, like there'd be a counter on the screen on Tucker Carlson's show every day? America post-democracy, us standing against the coup. No, they're pretending it didn't matter because it didn't work. If it had worked, they would just run with it. And they will if it works in the future. He's just lying. That's all it is. I mean, look. Every human is burdened by certain, you know, certain biases and psychological, you know, like tendencies, confirmation bias, motivated reasoning, these sorts of things. But it is explicit and baked into the creation of rundowns for Tucker Carlson every single day. He is trying to produce an outcome. And the outcome is a happy audience who doesn't want to feel bad about what happened. And so you tell them two things, even if they're totally contradictory. That it wasn't what it looks like, and it's not what they said. It was the FBI that did it. So don't feel bad about the bad footage if you ever see it, and you certainly won't on my show. Also, super patriotic is the best thing ever. Thousands of Americans standing up for their government. So feel good about it, in fact. That's the only way that you square those two things, is with it being motivated reasoning behind it. It's also just not true, based on his own show, to say it's a footnote, that it doesn't matter. Okay, then why did you make an entire documentary about it? Creating this false flag theory, the Patriot Purge thing. Why would you do all of that if it didn't matter? But then he goes on and says things like, I'm gonna jump ahead slightly, that the US government has in fact launched a new war on terror, not against Al-Qaeda, it's against American citizens. January 6th is being used as a pretext to strip millions of Americans, disfavored Americans, maybe legacy Americans, of their core constitutional rights. Okay, that's nonsense. That's insane Alex Jones stuff. But if you actually believe that, then January 6th is hardly unimportant historically. If it's being used as the pretext for like a sort of lib democratic patriot act, it's certainly important in that way. Now, this is all nonsense. It's nonsense. I'm going to give one more definition. When he says, in addition to this not being terrorism, he also has been saying over and over that it's not an insurrection. He just says it over and over. It's not an insurrection. Media will never admit that there was no insurrection. Okay, well, again, I can disagree with him, but so can the Oxford Languages Dictionary that says an insurrection is a violent uprising against an authority or government. There's no bit of the definition that says it has to plausibly have a chance of succeeding. That is what they were doing. It doesn't even say about what the goal of the uprising is. It clearly was an uprising. So again, take it up with the dictionary, Tucker.
The goal of the uprising was to stop the peaceful transfer of power in America through non-peaceful militant means. I mean, we have the BG on the scene video where he's freaking, they're breaking the windows. Mm-hmm. They spray, you know, fire extinguishers all over the place that they've stolen, and they're trying to, they're vandalizing the entire place. Nancy, where are you? I mean, that's the definition of an insurrection. They tried to do it. They wanted to do it. And more of the hypocrisy point outs, but like they are trying to stop states' rights.
Yep.
Period. They would, the states decided that these were the rules for the elections. They did it because of a national emergency. They were like, we should probably find ways for people to still vote and not put their lives at risk. Then they executed their plan for having votes happen according to that plan. And afterwards they said, yep, it's good. Here you go. Mm-hmm. That wasn't good enough. And this is the sign of a coup. It's not, they're not protests. I mean, everyone signed off that it was an okay process. The process was fine. They just didn't like the result.
Yep.
And that's not how it works. And if you think that's how it should work, you don't believe in America. You're anti-American. You hate this country. You hate all it stands for, and you always have.
Yeah, 100%. And you're gonna see it again in future elections. Okay, with that, we're gonna jump quickly into one more little update. When choosing what social media app to be on, there's a lot of choices, obviously. You know, I'm active on Twitter, lots of people like Instagram and those sorts of things. But what if you've been banned from all of those for pushing Nazi propaganda or the big lie or COVID conspiracy theories? Well, you might have been out of luck for a bit, but soon maybe not, because Truth Social is coming. Trump's long talked about social media site is apparently coming soon. If you take a look at this photo, you can see that you can pre-order it. I think it's free, so I don't entirely understand the pre-ordering. I think it'll just automatically download it when it comes out. But February 21st, 2022, about 6 weeks from now, it is apparently going to come out. And Devin Nunes, I believe, is involved in it. He's just left Congress. I guess he's got the 6 weeks he needs to make it work. We've talked previously about this when people have figured out ways to preemptively make accounts, including claiming the handles of people like Donald Trump. The entire site seems like a complete mess, Brett, but it's a mess that's coming next month.
I love it. I love that it's called Truth Social. It's like a modifier at the end. It's like not truth, it's Truth Social, which is like a caveat. It's basically an asterisk. It's our truth. It's a place where we can determine what we want the truth to be. And if the only caveat is in their terms of service that you can't actually speak truth to truth about how bad you can't truth criticize is. Them. I love it so much.
But what if it's bad? You're not allowed to say that it's bad.
It's England. You can't criticize the government even in a joking way. Like, that is England. You can't do it. That is a monarchy. It's, and if this so is where pathetic. The monarchy is headed, count me out. As Zazu said in
I almost placed it. I could almost hear it in John Oliver's voice. Anyway, you're right. You can't criticize the actual company. I assume they're gonna look poorly on Devin Nunes. Good luck impersonating a certain cow on that site. How do you think they're gonna handle criticizing Donald Trump on Truth Social? What if you say something true about Donald Trump? Do you think they're gonna be okay with that? Or do you think they're gonna have a little bit of cancel culture?
You just kind of mentioned it, but there might be people going like, what is the cow Devin Nunes thing? Devin Nunes, California congressperson, resigned to be the head of this organization, as you pointed out. He sued a fictional cow because this guy is so dedicated to truth. And this guy's so dedicated to free speech, he couldn't let a comedic Twitter handle pretending to be his cow continue to exist. He went into a lawsuit, and he also sued a fictional comedic Twitter handle that pretended to be Devin Nunes's mom, I think. And so this guy, who is on the side of all those First Amendment champions who say that, oh, these woke bros are all killing comedy, has sued two comedic Twitter handles in a court of law. And yeah, I hate to break it to him, but he lost. And so he has gone out. This little baby snowflake, Devin Nunes, has gone out, and he's just got to create his little tiny bubble where he's got to be safe. And he has a little bit. I mean, you have the graphic. It's graphic 5 that says you can't disparage, tarnish, or otherwise harm, in our opinion, us and or the site. You can't do it. He put a rule because someone was his fake mommy. He's like, I'm going to tell my mommy if you say something bad about me.
Yeah.
And as John's central theme is like, all these people pretending to be alphas, super beta C boys.
And also, just like, you're totally right. Like, that's the effect of that rule. But can you even put the word us in a rule? Like, who's the us? You're a corporation. Why are you acting like a club in a treehouse? You can't be mean to us. Us, like the corporation, the CEO, the board, the stockholders. I don't even understand what that means.
You can't even do that. So see how site is in capital in the there's a graphic where site is in capital. Yeah. You define terms and contracts, hereafter refer to. Us is not a capital.
It's not defined.
Like, it's so colloquial and stupid.
Yeah. It's so stupid. It's like fake legalese right next to us. Anyway, one little prediction, by the way. So this is gonna come out, and it's probably not gonna work, and it's probably going to fail inevitably. And Devin Nunes and Trump will make a bunch of money off it somehow, and then it'll fail and everyone will lose everything. But what I find most interesting about this, and I'm so excited for, is there have been a lot of like right-wing social media sites, you know, like the Rumble and Getter and all that stuff, trying to appeal to right wingers. And you've had people who have occasionally had the cloak of being progressive or leftists who've dabbled in these things, just in case, just because of like cancel culture or something, or like, you know, I just want to reach everybody. But wait until they're going to have to make the decision. Do they literally go on Donald Trump's social media site? And I guarantee some of them will, because it ain't a backup plan. It's to appeal to right wingers, and you're going to see it on Truth Social, assuming Truth Social actually works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, with that, we are going to take our break. When we come back, a couple of updates on the legal status of a few insurgents, mainly because these stories are hilarious. That's coming up after this. Oh, geez. My document just has a gigantic photo of a possum in it now, and it is pretty cute, actually. I think it's pretty cute. I know it's supposed to terrify me, but it doesn't. Okay, with that, Brett, let's do some legal updates. Sorry, it doesn't happen. Yeah, we'll bring him in eventually, don't worry. The insurgents continue their legal efforts to avoid prison sentences. And we've been updating you through the course of the past few months about how some of these cases have gone. Well, I want to talk about two of the cases in particular. The first is a 20-year-old who was one of the rioters at the Capitol Hill. Leonard Pearson Pierce Ridge IV. You don't hear a lot about fourths these days, so I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, he was 19 years old, drove from Pennsylvania to DC to participate in the ride. Okay, so while he was there, he apparently said on Snapchat, I think we're gonna try to block the session of Congress. In a video he shot and later shared, because again, many of them were very proud of what they were doing. Let's see, he yells out, America first, bitch. You can see him in this image, looks like trying to punch something. I don't know what there was to punch at that point. Before the riot, by the way, he had said Americans were, quote, forever screwed if they don't stop the stealing of the 2020 election, because, quote, if they can steal it once, they can steal it the next time too. And he posted videos and he posted photos of himself there. He later said he made history and that he actually was one of those who saw an officer shoot Ashley Babbitt. But I have a feeling probably every single one of them says that they were in that particular area. Anyway, he was a very knowing part of this riot. He did it for a specific political goal. He wanted to keep Donald Trump as president. He was very proud of himself. Now, though, he is being tried and he's facing potential jail sentences. So you have to come up with some sort of defense. And the defense that his lawyer has landed on is that his brain may not have been fully developed at the time that he participated in the riot, so you should really go easy on him. The lawyer said, it stands to reason that a youthful offender such as Mr. Ridge cannot carry the same culpability as an adult with a fully matured brain. Ergo, the same sentence for an adult in a similar situation as Mr. Ridge is not appropriate for this important reason. Brett, there's some science to imply that yes, your brain still does develop after that point. So do they have a point in this defense?
The point we should all take away from that defense is they're saying that in order to be part of the of this insurrection, your brain has to not really work well. That's their argument. Like, the straws that they have to be grasping at for everybody who says that like the left is so woke and such a snowflake that they have to like look for all these oppression Olympics excuses to not be an alpha freaking Ayn Rand disciple, right? Mm-hmm. These guys are like, well, he's not really a grown up yet. He's only 20 years old. Meanwhile, change the channel to like Fox Business and they're saying you got all these beta 20-year-olds who don't take responsibility for their own actions. They're not men.
Yep.
They're such babies and I love it. Nom nom nom.
Yeah. Well, and look, by the way, if I found myself participating in a coup, I would use whatever defense I thought kept me out of jail, including this one. But that doesn't make it right. It just doesn't. It's not the only one, by the way. It's not the only defense. Lawyer also blamed mob mentality. Yeah, but you went into the mob, so you're part of the mentality. That's not a defense. Political radicalization spurred on by social media. I agree with that. Global outrage over the pandemic and President Donald Trump for sweeping her client into the frenzy. So as many of them has, as blaming Donald Trump for doing this. Goes on to say he really did not understand that walking into the Capitol building would be such an egregious act. Well, look. I go much easier on these people than I think most would. I don't think he should go to jail for 10 years or whatever. Maybe he did think it wasn't such an egregious act. But it's hard to buy that when he says, we're going to stop them from stealing the election. So what did you think was going to accomplish that? You're going to walk very, very carefully and in an orderly manner and just stand there. And the coup that you believe happened in November will thereby be reversed? That doesn't make any sense.
It's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse.
It's not a good excuse.
Yeah.
Like that no human, no reasonable person, you'll hear the word reasonable in legal proceedings all the time. No reasonable person buys that excuse. There's nothing reasonable about walking past a police line, shoving past, being right up against that, where they're breaking windows.
Yeah.
To go past a barricaded door where there are people that you're not allowed to get to. Yep. If he was right around Ashley Babbitt, like, dude, you know you were in a place you shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for that.
Exactly. They were being yelled at to not go there.
And I think they should issue a formal apology to every member of the Black Lives Matter or Antifa or any kind of protest movement that they've ever said anything bad about, because it was just mob mentality that drove that kind of stuff. How would they know that they were doing something wrong? They were just trying to defend individuals who had been victims of a corrupt justice system from suffering those consequences by assembling en masse. Like, which is it, dude? Because the answer is it's hypocrisy and it's selective truth.
Super last point about this. There is one other individual. We're going to show you a photo right here. You can see her. She went into Nancy Pelosi's office. She actually has a bit of a sign that they apparently broke. So she actually was apparently involved in a crash of automobiles. It's Emily Hernandez, by the way, faces two charges related to driving while intoxicated and causing a crash that resulted in death and serious physical injury. She was accused of having excessive blood alcohol content. Apparently, there was a crash. A 32-year-old woman in an SUV was pronounced dead at the scene. Another man has been taken to a hospital, and his condition wasn't clear. Like, she was like waiting for legal adjudication of a insurrection she'd been involved in, and apparently getting drunk and driving around, and now someone is dead, allegedly. So, yeah, there's a lot of them out there. There's literally hundreds. This is just a little sampling of what they're like. Anyway, with that, let's get into our last story of the hour. You've probably heard a lot of the past few months, especially about natural immunity, especially from the right. The idea that if you had been previously affected by COVID, then for the rest of time, you don't have to worry at all about anything COVID related, and you don't have to comply with any expectation of societal responsibility that would be COVID related. This is being used by grifters. Like, you don't need to get tested. You don't need to get vaccines if you've already been sick or whatever. It's also attempting to be put into law. In Indiana, GOP lawmakers are pushing a bill that if you previously had COVID, and many wouldn't even be able to prove it, that would be able to pass as a COVID vaccine exemption. In Wisconsin, they're trying to do the same thing for private employers. And look, it's definitely grift, and it's an attempt to not have to take seriously the pandemic. But there is at least some reason that people believed that previously having been infected by this would be a defense. What I want to make clear here is that it has never been considered by serious scientists as the defense that the grifters imply it is. A 100% effective defense that will never ever wane, let alone end. And now we have new research that I want to talk about that shows that Omicron has actually made the arguments for natural immunity even weaker. Now, understand this is being done by researchers in Qatar. It hasn't yet been peer reviewed, but the initial studies that had shown that coronavirus vaccines, particularly without a booster shot, are less effective than Omicron, that was scary. You know, the idea that this new variant is not only very transmissible, but that the booster shield that you had might not be as effective as you thought. Well, prior immunity also not as effective against Omicron. The study that we're referencing here found that prior infections were 90% effective against symptomatic reinfections for the Alpha variant, the original COVID-19, 92% effective for the Delta variant, and only 56% effective for Omicron. Now, in all of these, prior infection, like vaccination, tends to produce less severe cases of COVID. Effectiveness against hospitalization and death was 69% for Alpha, 100% for Delta, and 88% for Omicron. But it is not a total defense, as you can see, against infection. In fact, less so than any of the other variants. And you can still get seriously ill, particularly in a time when 700 to over a million people are getting infected with this particular variant on a daily basis. Brett, what are your thoughts?
I mean, there's so many people who are disingenuous, grifty actors, and in so much of the discourse surrounding coronavirus, the objective has stopped being like, let's do the smart thing medically and the legal thing constitutionally, and has started becoming like, well, how do I feel right and smarter than doctors about stuff? And that's insanity. Mm-hmm. And so anyone who's looking at any kind of, you know, lessening their potential level of danger would say, all right, if I should probably wear a mask because that provably reduces the transmissibility, I should definitely get a vaccination and a booster because that reduces hospitalization, saving not only my life in a very measurable, very real way, but also the lives of other people who would need that bed for something completely more emergent, yeah, and non-COVID related and conventionally like hospital needing. Than my dumbass who just didn't get a vaccine because of some reason that I found from Joe Rogan. Also, it's worth pointing out that like the viral interview with the doctor he had, the argument in that was natural immunity works because like if you think that you've gotten COVID twice and even if you've seen a test proving that, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. That's what that guy said, and it's been disproven.
Yeah, it's definitely been disproven. Anyway, the takeaway that I want people to have is, you're not going to be perfectly defended no matter what. But if you had natural immunity, you should still get the vaccine and get boosted. That is what the CDC has been saying, and this new study only confirms that advice. Anyway, that is going to be all the time we have for our first hour. Thank you to all of those on our linear platforms. If you're on Twitch or YouTube or the members app, there is still another half hour coming, including our Garbage People of the Week. So don't go anywhere. Brett and I will be back in just a few minutes. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.